Gospel of John, chapter 14. And we're going to spend some time looking at a very familiar scripture to all of us. But in doing this, we're just going to see some wonderful things that are important for us to know, important for us to understand, regarding what's been done by our Heavenly Father through Christ. The more you look at this stuff, the more amazing it is. The more you appreciate and understand the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the more you want to, walk with God and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It just takes on new meaning, new life, the more time you spend in God's Word and you learn of these things and the grace of God. Just to see the grace of God. We'll see a couple things this morning. It's breathtaking. How God sees us and what He's done and what Jesus Christ did for us. And the more you look at these things, it's truly amazing, and it's really sad that there are born-again ones who look to the works of their flesh to be right before God. And the more you see who Jesus Christ is, what Jesus Christ has done, what God's heart from the beginning was, the more ridiculous that becomes. Because you are just so in awe of what God has done, who God is, who Jesus Christ is, and what He has done, how dare I think that there is anything that I could bring to the table to improve on what Jesus Christ has done. See? And when I begin to get that right, then I start to see that what I do or my life or the way that I walk is not to be righteous, but it's because I'm beginning to understand my righteousness. I'm beginning to understand the freedom that I have because of what Jesus Christ did, and I don't have to do it. Isn't that something? It's just, and there's such freedom in that. There's just freedom in that. You know, to stand approved before their Lord Jesus Christ, before our God, rather than men. And when we do that, we will bless men. But that's not what it's about. See? So, let's read this section here in John chapter 14. We're going to read a few verses. Verse 1 of chapter 14, it is my thinking that there shouldn't even be a chapter break here. He has just told Peter, because Peter said he would die with him, and he said, well, not exactly. And so then one opens with, don't let your heart be troubled. Because Peter was he was a man, he was a fisherman. I'm going to die with you. And then to be told, no, you're not only you're not going to die with me, you are going to deny me. Oh, that would be a hard one. Let not your heart be troubled. Isn't that beautiful? You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Then Thomas said unto him, and I really love this, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Makes sense. If I don't know where you're going, how do I know how to get there? Right? perfectly logical question. You know, before I read the next verse, these men were wonderful men, but they had concepts or ideas of who the Christ would, or what the Christ would be, what the Christ would do. At least three times that are recorded prior to this, he had already told them that he would be crucified, that he would be killed, but that he would get up again. And when you read those records, you know, it was a hard saying. They couldn't understand it. A couple of times they started fighting over who was going to be the greatest. Right? It was tough. It was tough. How can you die? So I understand this. Now, when we read this, it makes perfect sense. We know where he's going. We know what he's preparing, right? We know what he means when he says, I'm going to come back and get you. I mean, but to Thomas, how can I know the way? And then Jesus Christ makes this statement, and it's deep. It's a deep statement. There's a lot to it. We're just going to touch on it. But I just love this. He says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is it. He's it. He is the way, and we'll take a look at this in a moment, at a few scriptures. He's the way, he is the truth, and he's the life. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Only way to God. Acts 4:12, you guys know this verse, when they healed the lame man, and when they wondered at what was done, it wasn't by our own strength or holiness we did this, but it was in the name of Jesus Christ. You remembered the one you crucified. See? There is no other name given in heaven whereby men can be saved. That's it. There is no other way. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. He is the only way to salvation and deliverance. But in addition to that, it is through Jesus Christ. And let's turn to Romans 5 real quick. We'll just take a look at a couple of verses.
Coming back to John.
We are going to, well, it's going to be a while before we get back to John. Or John 14, anyway. We are going back to John. We got a lot of hopping around. I'm going to story time a few of these things. But here in Romans 5, and I just love this. It's hard to pick where to start, but I'm going to read verse 25. I'm going to read verse 24 of chapter 4. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for or because of our offenses, was raised again for or because of our justification or righteousness. Therefore, being justified by believing, we have peace with God, heard that manifestations, through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access, by our Lord Jesus Christ, we have access into, or by believing, into this grace wherein we what? Wherein we stand. See, it is by way of, or through Jesus Christ, that we have the access that we have. Hebrews talks about this. We have a high priest. Jesus Christ is also referred to as a high priest who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And because of that, he's got compassion for our weaknesses. Therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace. See, isn't that something? To find grace and mercy to help in time of need. See, he is the way. He is the way to salvation, but he is also, it is through Jesus Christ that we have the access that we have to God. Isn't that amazing? And we're going to see some things as we go through this and look at this. I hope it sparks some things. But I want you to go back to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 1. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. There is no other way. And then he said, I am the truth. And I want to take a moment to consider this. This is a lot of fun to spend time with and look at. We're just going to look at a few things. But in John chapter 1, well, let's start in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He, John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to that light. That was the true light that lights every man that comes into this world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And then I want to jump down. I don't want to go through this whole section. Let's go down to verse 14. And the Word was made what?
Flesh.
Was made flesh. And I think most of you know this word is logos. And that word logos is another word for word in the Greek that's rhema. And that is the written or spoken word. Logos can include the written and spoken word, but it also includes the thought or the intent behind it. Okay? The thought or intent of God, what he desired from the beginning, meaning the fall, was spoken by the prophets. It was written down by the prophets. And it became manifest or was personified in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the manifestation of the truth that God spoke all the way back in Genesis regarding that promised seed. Isn't that something? Jesus Christ perfectly represented the God of truth. He was the truth. With that in mind, let's go to John 17. I want to look at something. John 17. You know, you read in the Gospel of John where Jesus Christ was also the true vine. He was the true shepherd. He was the true bread. See? And all of these pointed toward him being the truth, being what God did, what God carried out, so that men could believe, have something to believe, believe on the truth, and have eternal life. It's pretty neat, isn't it? But in John 17, this is a lot of stuff in here. But I'm going to start in verse, let's see. Oh, I'm sorry. Here we go. Verse 6. Verse 6 says, I have manifested, and it means to reveal. I have revealed thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. They have kept thy word. That, by the way, is the word logos, which is interesting. Now, they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words, that's rhema, which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that it came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I just want to stop here for a moment. We're going to read a couple more verses. It talks in John 10, we may go there, how that all that the Father hath given me, nobody's going to pluck them out of my hand. Right? Here we've just read that, let's back up and look at it again. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. These men, consider this, these men were given Jesus Christ by who? That would make those men a what? A gift. Chew on that for a moment. It gets better. Anyway, so he had manifested. Verse 14, let's jump down to verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil or the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy what? Thy word is what? That's right. See? And Jesus Christ was the, and thy word is truth, is that word is logos. Jesus Christ was the manifestation, the personification of God's really intense desire all the way back from Genesis to save men, to start over. Isn't that beautiful? See, he was the truth. I wonder what Philip thought when Jesus Christ said that to him. But you know, there's a lot of things. You know, you see some of these answers that Jesus Christ gave these men that just were so deep, so much behind it. And, you know, they didn't maybe perhaps understand it. Because I think it goes on in that record in John 14 where Philip says, well, just show us the Father. That we're good enough. They didn't quite get it. But you know what? The day would come when they would. When they would look back on some of these things that Jesus Christ said and just, you know, as they grew and as they put this together, when you know, once they were filled with Holy Spirit. I always think of that when I read some of these. You know, so much of this would be understood later in the lives of these men. And oh, the impact that would have. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's go to John. I wanted to read this. John 18. This is during the time that Jesus Christ, or after he had given himself over. And in John chapter 18, in verse 35. Yeah, we better start at 33. Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, verse 33, and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, saying, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. Pilate therefore said unto him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." In other words, yes, I'm a king. I came into the world that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Hears the voice of truth. The truth regarding who Jesus Christ is. We'll see this again in a little bit in looking at the life. But then Pilate says unto him, "What is truth? What is truth?" You know, it's really something, because the truth is standing right before him. And what Jesus Christ just declared to him was gold, telling Pilate who he was. See? But at this point anyway, Pilate wasn't of the truth. Couldn't hear it. Just couldn't hear it. There's a... let's look at one more. Revelation chapter 3. Then we're going to come back and look at some things regarding the life. Revelation chapter 3. Let's look at verse 7. It says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia." The book of Revelation are, it's the words of Jesus Christ to future churches in the future. That's what we're reading. But to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, "These things said he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and what? No man opens." See, isn't that a beautiful description? That's a description of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go down to verse 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Ha! It's just, you know, that's a packed verse. Jesus Christ is the beginning of the creation of God, looking forward. He is the purpose for which the ages were framed. He's the firstborn among many brethren. He's a new creation and the only one of its type right now. But we're going to accompany him at some point. Isn't that something? You know, it's really awesome. But he is the truth. He is the true witness. There's other verses. You can read through Revelation and see some of these things. You know, just some of the illustrations are so amazing. He's, you know, on a white horse, and he's got, you know, faithful and true written on his leg. You know, all this stuff. But this is who Jesus Christ is, the perfect representation of God. Now, we're going to look at some things regarding the life, and I want to go back to John chapter 14 for that. We're just going to look at a few of these. You know, this is, when we read this, you know, this is our Lord. This is who we're in. This is who we're associated with. See, and when we look at this, we're going to see that he brought the life of God to the world. He is the sustainer of life to those who believe on him. He is going to give this life when all those in the tombs hear his voice. I'm the life. That's the authority that God gave our Lord Jesus Christ. You know? All right. This stuff is so thrilling to me. I'm with him. That's it. When I read some of this stuff, I'm with him. John 14. Speaking to his men, and he's beginning to teach them about Holy Spirit, what's coming. But in verse 19, it says, "Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But you see me, and because I live, you shall what? You shall live also. You shall live also." It really all hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's and we'll see that in a little bit here. But I want you to turn to John chapter 5 and read another kind of familiar section here. And I'm just kind of blowing through these scriptures here. I think to quite a degree they speak for themselves. The Jews, he's in a discussion with the Jews who wanted to kill him. And verse 20 says, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, makes them alive, or gives them life, even so the Son quickens, makes alive whom he will. For the Father judges no man. He's committed all judgment unto the Son, that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father which has sent him. And verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." From the condemnation from Adam into the life of Jesus Christ. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is its present, when the dead shall hear the voice of God, or the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." You know who poured out Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? That was Jesus Christ. "Don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation," or judgment, you know. Depending on it, it's going to be a different kind of resurrection for some. For some, it'll be a resurrection unto life. For others, not so much. But it's Jesus Christ that's going to give this life. It's Jesus Christ that's going to raise the dead. It's Jesus Christ, when we're gathered together, they that are dead in Christ shall what? He's going to rise first. It's Jesus Christ that's going to do it. That's the authority that's been given him. Isn't that remarkable? I am the life. It's so awesome. Let's go to John chapter 10. You know, John chapter 6, just some beautiful illustrations. You know, "I am the true bread. I am the bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever believes on me will have everlasting life. The true bread is my flesh, which I give for the world. Whoever eats my flesh drinks my blood has eternal life. It's sacrificial language, but it all adds up to believing on Christ. See, whosoever drinks of that living water, it's believing on Christ. Isn't that something? It's all Christ. See, it's just beautiful to see some of those things. But here in John chapter 10, we're going to read some familiar verses. Verse 9, here in this record, well, let's just read it. It says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That is such a beautiful illustration. You know, when I read this, there is a peace, there's a supply, there's a freedom. Sheep just going in and out, not a worry. Whatever they need, they have. Isn't that something? And that's really what's being communicated here. It's in Christ. He's the door. This is beautiful. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have what? Life. And that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. This life and this life more abundantly is referring to that life that Jesus Christ came to bring. Spirit, that life from God, real life, true life. This word abundantly you can transfer as much more. Much more life. That life from God is a deposit, a token of what we have coming in the future. But it's that life from God that enables us to live life now with joy. Enables us to live life now with access to the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That's what enables us to bear fruit of righteousness, fruit of light, fruit of the Spirit. It's pretty awesome. You know, it's not talking about physical abundance, which is what I thought at one time. Oh, this is cool. Yeah, I'm in on that. But it's so much greater than that. It's so much greater than that. And then let's look at a couple more here. Verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. And I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of the Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews. Well, that's a shocker. Let's go down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you see that illustration? You know, those words, pluck them out of my hand. The illustration is we belong to Jesus Christ. That's the illustration. That's the figure. Out of my hand. You belong to me. See? My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Isn't that something? Did you ever consider your life being a gift to Jesus Christ? Yeah, me neither. It's like, really? But see, it's not in light of sometimes how we view ourselves. Like, I'm not bringing anything to the table, but it's that I believed on Jesus Christ, and it's who I am in Christ. See? And I'm going to have a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. And I can bring glory to God now, and man, are we going to bring glory to God in the future. through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? It's just, you read these verses, but it's what it says. It's what it says. Let's go. I better scoot along here. I do want to read this in John chapter 11. This is a familiar scripture to you guys too. This was regarding the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And Lazarus had died. Jesus Christ stayed where he was for a couple of days at the direction of God. And then he begins to head that way. And I want to pick it up in verse 21. Martha ran to meet him when she heard he was coming. It said, Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. This record opens with, this is going to end in the glory of God. Here he says, your brother's going to rise again. Now, this is just beautiful. Well, I'll just read it. Your brother's going to rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Isn't that beautiful? Martha believed on the resurrection. She believed that. She believed, you know, in the end. But now Jesus Christ is going to step it up a notch. And you see this all through the Gospels. His teaching. And what it was is it was teaching, who am I? Believe on me. Right? To look on Jesus Christ, to see who he was. So he steps it up a notch. He says, Jesus said unto her, I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life of which you speak. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That never die, we've worked that before. It's never die in the age or see death in the age, referring to the age to come. Do you believe this? This is so awesome. She said to him, yeah. Yeah, Lord, I do. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Yeah, I do. I do believe it. Isn't that something? What an awesome woman. And you know, she would get to see a sampling, a shadow, just a little smidgen of the authority that God gave the Lord Jesus Christ when he stood before that tomb after Lazarus being dead for 4 days, said, Lazarus, wake up! He's going to do that again one day. Just got to see a little shadow of it. See, he was the resurrection and the life. Isn't that something? Oh, how thrilling that must have been. Breathtaking. Let's go to, let's close in John. Our first John, rather. First John chapter 5. You know, in Colossians, and it's a scripture we've spent time with in this fellowship. It's probably one of my favorite sections in the Word. But it's to set your affections, set your thoughts on things above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Our life is hid where it's in Christ. That's where our life is hid. And the more you see this and understand it, the more you understand and see there's really no true satisfaction of any kind outside of Christ. There's really no true living outside of Christ. That's really where it is. It's just, we keep our eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I wanted to close here in John chapter 5. I just love the way it's stated. And it's real simple. Verse 11, it says, "And this is the record that God has given to us of eternal life, to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has what?
Life.
And he that has not the Son of God hath not what?
Life."
Boom. See? Isn't that something? You know, and I've seen this over the years, and I've met people over the years. This sounds close-minded. It sounds, you know, dogmatic. So you're telling me that, you know, I have to believe on Jesus Christ, and there's it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's really loving, you know, when you understand this. But, you know, when it comes to, for instance, and we accept it in other things. When it comes to math, for instance, 2 plus 2 equals what? Boy, that's dogmatic. You don't really have much of an open mind. Because I feel like it equals 7. And there's a lot of that going on today.
So how did you arrive at that?
Right. There's a lot of that going on today in our culture. And it's really an attack at the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of God. It really is. It looks like it's about other causes. Oh, don't get sucked in. It's a denial of God. It's a denial of His Son. It's a denial of what life is really about. So don't follow those paths. You know, we stay put. We keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our life is. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.